Chapter 12. The Brotherhood. They had done it. They were there, at last. Winston and Julia were standing in a long, elegant living room. At the far end of the room, O'Brien was sitting at a table with lots of documents next to him. He had not looked up when the servant had brought Winston and Julia into the room. Winston's heart was beating so hard that he wondered if he would be able to speak. It had been such a dangerous thing to do. He had met Julia outside O'Brien's door, and he had been scared the whole way there. He had been especially scared when he entered the area where the inner party members lived. A guard with a gun might stop him and tell him to get away. The building was very large. It had clean, white-painted corridors, there were smells of good food, and there were quick, silent lifts. Everything was so different from the places where outer party members lived. O'Brien had his head bent over a piece of paper, looking powerful and intelligent. He spoke sharply in newspeak into the speakwrite. Then, at last, he stood up and came towards them across the soft, expensive carpet. As O'Brien passed the telescreen, he pressed a button on the wall. The voice stopped. Julia made a tiny sound of surprise. Even though he was so afraid, Winston could not help speaking.
"You can turn it off," he said.
"Yes," said O'Brien. "We are allowed to turn it off."
He was opposite them now. He was much taller and more powerful than both of them. Obviously, he was waiting for Winston to speak. The room was completely silent without the sound of the telescreen. Suddenly, O'Brien started to smile.
"Shall I speak or will you?" he said.
"I will," said Winston quickly. "Is the telescreen really turned off?"
"Yes, everything is turned off. We are alone."
"We're here because..."
Winston was uncertain what to say, but then he continued.
"We believe that there's an organisation working against the party, and a conspiracy, and that you're involved in it. We want to join it. We're enemies of the party. We don't believe in the ideas of Ingsoc. We're thought criminals. We're also having a relationship. I'm telling you this because we want to help you."
Winston stopped speaking because the door opened and the servant came in carrying a tray with glasses and a bottle on it. O'Brien filled up the glasses with the dark red liquid. Julia picked up her glass and held it near her nose. The liquid had a slightly sweet smell.
"It's called wine," said O'Brien, smiling. "You have read about it in books, no doubt. Outer party members don't see much of it, I'm afraid."
He raised his glass.
"Let us drink to the health of our leader, Goldstein."
Winston and Julia drank the wine, and then Winston asked,
"So Goldstein exists?"
"Yes, he exists, but I don't know where he is," replied O'Brien.
"And is the organisation called the Brotherhood real?" asked Winston. "And is the conspiracy real, or did the Thought Police invent it?"
"Yes, the Brotherhood is real, and so is the conspiracy," said O'Brien. "Now, I need to ask you some questions. First, what are you prepared to do?"
"We'll do anything that we're able to," said Winston.
O'Brien turned in his chair so that he was looking at Winston. He seemed to believe that Winston could speak for Julia.
"Are you prepared to die?"
"Yes."
"Are you prepared to do things which may cause the death of hundreds of innocent men, women, and children?"
"Yes."
"Are you prepared to kill yourselves if you are ordered to do so?"
"Yes."
"Are you prepared, the two of you, to separate and never see each other again?"
"No," said Julia. There was a short pause. Winston was not sure what he was going to say until he spoke.
No, he said.
Thank you for telling me, said O'Brien. It is necessary for us to know everything. Now, you must understand something. You will belong to the Brotherhood, but you will never know much about it. You will only know a few people who will give you orders, and you will obey the orders without knowing why. You will be caught. When you are finally caught, you will confess, but you won't have much to confess. You will only betray a few people. Probably you won't even betray me. By that time, I may be dead, or I shall have become a different person.
As O'Brien continued to speak, Winston realized how much he admired this big, powerful man. Julia looked as if she admired O'Brien too, as he explained the future.
You will have to get used to living without results and without hope. You will work for a while, you will be caught, you will confess, and then you will die. There is no chance of much change during our lives. We can only spread our ideas from person to person and from generation to generation, so the future is better than our present. In the fight against the thought police, there is no other way.
He looked at his watch.
It's almost time for you to go, comrades, he said. You mustn't leave together. You must go first, he said to Julia. And take one of these.
He gave her a flat white pill from a box which he took from a shelf.
It is important not to go out smelling of wine.
As soon as Julia had left, he turned to Winston.
Have you got a hiding place? He asked.
Winston explained about the room above Mr. Charrington's shop.
Good, replied O'Brien,
though it will often be necessary to change hiding places. Meanwhile, I shall send you a copy of a book by Goldstein as soon as possible.
They were silent for a moment.
If we meet again, said O'Brien.
Winston completed the sentence.
It will be in the place where there is no darkness.
O'Brien nodded, as if he was not surprised to hear Winston complete the sentence.
And now, he said, I'm afraid it is time for you to go. Let me give you one of these pills.